Hello, I'm Lee Hatcher with the Coaching and Education podcast series. I'm in conversation with Belinda Wall, Principal of Winoona High School in Wollongong and President of the Illawarra Southeast Secondary Principals Council. As you'll hear in our Skype conversation, she's the school counsellor who moved to be the school principal, and coaching has been an important part of that pretty unique transition.
Initially, I was appointed as a district guidance officer, which is the equivalent to a head teacher supervising a team of school counsellors. But we have a base school that we're attached to. So the school that I was attached to included me as part of their executive team. So I would attend all of their executive meetings and would, you know, participate in planning, you know, normal executive activities in the school. And there happened to be a number of times when they needed someone to relieve as deputy principal, and the principal would ask me to do that on an intermittent basis. It just segued into the opportunity to relieve for a little period of time, and then I applied for a position and was successful in obtaining a position as deputy principal.
How did the staff cope with that?
The staff were fine because they had seen me, you know, performing the role previously. The students actually were really fine too, because I maintained my counselling allocation initially, and so when I looked at the roles and responsibilities of the deputy principal, I obviously took on the counselling role of those year groups that were not part of my role as a deputy. So, for example, yes, if I was looking after years, you know, 7, 9 and 11, then I would share with the other school counsellor in the school, and I would look after students in years 8, 10 and 12. You know, for any counselling matters. But after a while, we didn't need to use that as a discriminator, because the students were happily would talk to me as either the counsellor or as the deputy.
Okay.
So it really, you know, initially I even started using the counsellor's office when I was, you know, using my designated teaching time, which is counsellor time. But after a while, I just stopped doing that because the students were really comfortable with it. And to be honest, the skills of a school counsellor are, you know, are highly invaluable when you're a deputy principal.
I'm sure.
Students, you know, parents and staff. And it's not that, you know, school counsellors don't talk to students about consequences and, you know, repercussions for choices that they make. So it was a natural occurrence that everybody was happy with.
Okay.
But when I moved from that school to another school as a deputy principal, I actually did take up a teaching load. And the reason I did that was one of my responsibilities as a deputy at the new school was to coordinate and organise curriculum across the whole school. So timetabling, curriculum elective. So I really wanted to get back into the classroom so that I had a on-the-ground understanding, yes, of what staff were doing.
So how did coaching play a part in all that? It actually informed that process at three levels of application.
When I was full-time school counsellor and district guidance officer, the therapeutic approach that sat well with me was a solution-focused-based approach. So when I started looking at coaching, it was very much the same, having that solutions focus in looking at planning forward and not dwelling on the past and what's happened previously, but looking about what's happening currently, what are the options to move forward and how can we best do that. So it sat very well with the way that I had been working, if you like, with young people and with staff and parents in my role as deputy principal and also as principal.
Yes.
So when the opportunity arose down here in the Illawarra for executive staff to engage in the two-day leadership coaching program, I jumped at it because I thought it would be a wonderful structure that would allow my executive to use. Secondly, in 2013, here at Winoona High School, we undertook a whole school evaluation. Lots of recommendations came out of that evaluation. But one of the recommendations was that staff had clearly indicated that they would like the opportunity to engage in more professional learning. So we completely restructured the way we offered professional learning here at the school. We developed cross-faculty groupings that we called teacher learning communities. And the reason we went to that model was so that staff were really focused on the pedagogy of teaching, not on the content of the syllabus. So in sharing their practice and in sharing how we could best improve the outcomes for our students, coaching sat really nicely with that, because we had teacher learning community leaders, and they were teachers identified in the school, and they were identified based on their capacity as future leaders. So to allow them to have a structure to work with staff who range from being early career teachers through to staff who had, you know, in excess of 30 years experience, we needed a structure that would allow them to ascertain the best way forward, and coaching and the structure of coaching allowed us to do that. So we began by training our learning community leaders with growth coaching, and we use that every time we have professional learning now, in terms of collectively, what's our goal? What's the reality of the situation? What are our options? What's the evidence? And when will we do this by? So yeah. Even as recently as last night, when we had a Twilight professional learning session, we had the pleasure of having Anne McIntyre here with us, and coaching was very much part of that. So both our learning community leaders used coaching, and also our head teachers, when we broke up into faculty groups, also used the coaching.
Great stuff. Great stuff. You've also, thirdly, got a connection with Wollongong University, and it's being played out there too.
Because of our approach to professional learning and the, you know, significant improvement that has resulted in student learning outcomes based on that, we were identified to work in partnership with Wollongong University to develop models of best practice to support pre-service teachers in their transition from university into the profession. So one of the ideas that we proposed to the university was to actually use growth coaching as something that our mentors could use in supporting pre-service teachers in their transition from university into the profession. So all of our teachers not only participated in a mentoring workshop that was collaboratively developed by the staff here and also the Wollongong University personnel, but they also engaged in peer coaching and also coaching for the Australian standards. So there were two workshops that they participated in. And again, it's using the solutions focus, planning forward, supporting our early career teachers and our pre-service teachers. Because how we've used it, we've actually triangulated the professional learning that occurs here in the school, in that we team up early career teachers, that is teachers within the first couple of years of their teaching, with our experienced and wise teachers here at the school, with our pre-service teachers. So whenever we have professional learning, there is a triangulation of learning, and they're all learning from one another, but using the coaching method to allow that to happen.
You're listening to the Coaching and Education podcast series. I'm in conversation with Belinda Wall, principal of Winoona High School in Wollongong. So across such a range of participants, how did it all work out? What difference did it make?
The difference that it's made is that it's given them an actual structure, because we're starting with the development of a goal. So it's a very futures-focused approach. And because it's focused specifically and deliberately on their day-to-day practice, teachers see it as a useful thing.
Yes.
It's not just sitting down having a conversation about, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could, how about this, or we could try that. It's very directed, very structured, and it has the time frame around it of, okay, by the next time we come together as a learning community, which may be in 5 weeks' time, this is what I will have undertaken to do, and this is what I will bring back with me to our next session, so that I can show or demonstrate how I have put in place what we have agreed to here in our learning community.
And that actually works?
Absolutely, it works, because people are making a commitment both as a group and also individually. So that's the collective responsibility and accountability is built in within that, because they've all agreed that this is the goal, this is what we've agreed to as a group. We're all happy with this. We've discussed it. We know where we're at in each of our different faculties, but this goal is one that we have all agreed to. this course of action is one that we have all agreed to.
Yes.
And it also allows for differentiation within that. So, for example, if the goal is to use feedback structured within the next assessment task, what they bring back to the learning community is differentiated. So it may be that you have one staff member that's coming back saying, well, I've actually rewritten assessment task and I've embedded, feedback practices within that, and this is my report back on how that assessment task actually went into the class. And another, it may be, well, I'd really like to have a lesson observation with someone coming in and looking at me using feedback techniques that make students think, and they will bring back the results or the discussion that emanated from that lesson observation. So it does allow for differentiation based on what the individual teacher wants, basically, to improve in their practice. But it still sits within the umbrella of the goal that the group had agreed to.
Can you tell me the difference that this has made to the students? How that's really been helpful and bringing structure and clarity to so many processes. But how's it affected students?
We've had great results over the last few years, and we've received a lot of really positive publicity due to that. And it's because we have an unrelenting focus on our professional learning here at the school, and our professional learning is all about reflective practices and practices that improve student learning outcomes. Mm. So our students now are picking up on the language. One of the things that we've been looking at in terms of our assessment practices here at the school is using feedback. Mm. And using feedback in a formative way that informs students of how they can improve their current performance by putting in place the strategies that the teacher suggests. So we're embedding that within our assessment tasks. So there's a common language in the school now around that, around feedback, around formative feedback, and around feeding forward, as we like to call it, feeding forward to the next measure of how a student is performing. So students now are using that very same language and are asking for feedback, are asking for when is my draft due to be submitted by so that I can receive feedback on how I'm going.
Fantastic.
In terms of preparing for the next task, or if it's a summative assessment, if it's an exam, the same practices are put into play. So the students very much are using the language as well.
How have you felt about that, seeing how that's kind of rippled through?
Oh, it's fantastic, that students are... we're seeing that shift from students being passive learners and just taking on board feedback from teachers and saying, just give me the mark.
Yes.
To be very much about, well, when can I submit a draft so that I can get some feedback so that the work that they're submitting is the very best quality work that they can submit based on the formative feedback that they've been receiving from their teachers along the learning process.
Yes. One question, an important question, have you experienced any blowback at all from coaching?
No, not at all. It's been a very positive experience here at the school, and because we have embedded it into what we do. It's not what I refer to as a bolt-on. It's very much part of the structure of how we organise our executive meetings, how we structure our faculty meetings, and how we structure our professional learning meetings. They're goal-directed, they're future-focused, and they have time constraints on them so that by this time we have agreed to do whatever.
Yes,
and it's developed collectively, and that has been the one thing that has really made a difference, that sharing of pedagogical practice across faculty groupings has been amazing.
So final question, is there a what next for coaching in how you're looking to build on this?
Sure. For what next in terms of our assessment practices, and this is the focus of our professional learning this year, is peer and self-assessment. So we're developing structures within the school for students to self-reflect on their learning and to have the strategies and skills to be able to assess their own learning and also to give feedback to one another on their learning. So not only are they using the expertise of the teacher, but they're also using the expertise that sits within the classroom. They're very clear about what the learning intentions are, you know, what their learning should look like. So we see coaching as something that will sit very nicely with that in terms of students coaching one another and also staff coaching students in terms of setting their learning goals and how they may go about achieving them.
Yeah.
Look, I think we have such a significant buy-in from staff and, you know, from our students in terms of, you know, looking at best practice, looking at the evidence that we have here in the school, that the world really is our oyster in terms of the willingness of our staff to engage in that rich dialogue around professional practice,
yes.
But also our students clearly understanding that they also have responsibility for their learning, and we are supporting them in such a structured way that allows them to accept that responsibility for their learning and to really show great improvement in their learning.
What a wonderful thing to hear from a principal. The world's our oyster. Belinda, thank you so much indeed for your time. It's really a great story. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lee.
You've been listening to the Coaching and Education podcast series. I'm Lee Hatcher. Check out some of our other great podcasts in this series. I know you'll be inspired. They are at www.growthcoaching.com.au.